Okay, so I gotta start the show off with this. I know people have been wondering, I myself have been wondering, what to do with the audio version of the show. I've been doing a lot of these IG lives, and thank you everyone to tuning in on those, but the audio has been lacking, and the podcast element has been lacking. I'm so over the word podcast too, by the way, Sky, but it's been lacking. So that's why I created this fitness, the F word show, as an audio only thing, but right now it's the only audio only thing. So if you're a subscriber to Sleep Time's Over, thank you. And you're probably wondering, what the fuck am I just getting these fitness shows every week?
Yeah, thought we were canceled.
We thought we were canceled or something. Well, I mean, if you are only an audio only guy, I mean, obviously there's some other stuff going on if you've got the Instagrams and the Facebooks. But so to enhance the audio only, I figured now is the time to, Sky and I did this thing along. Seems like a long time ago. We did the best of 92, 93, right? So it was like 10,000 hours long. So I figure, let's do this again and make this another content, a weekly content show of the best of 94. And then once we're done with 94, then we can go to 95. But it'll be broken up in a weekly episodic base. And it'll be coming out every Thursday. So every Thursday will be the Two Old Futs show, best of 94, hip hop. And then Friday will be fitness, the F word. That's your two, for now, weekly audio-only shows.
Right, get it, everybody? It's Throwback Thursday.
It's Throwback Thursday. Marketing. Yes. So that is my little disclaimer of like what's been going on with the audio. And if you're wondering as a subscriber, you're getting this audio show now that says hip-hop, and then the next day is going to be fitness. This is why. I'm just trying to diversify and turn Sleep Time's Over audio into a channel of different things every day. But it's all a foundation of Sleep Time's Over, what it is. And Sky, go right ahead and intro this.
Great cross promotion for you, man. The hip hop right. Fitness coach. That's you.
Yeah, that's going far. Yeah, I can't wait to give you the results of that once the stats come in.
All right.
Guy, what are we doing here?
All right, here we go. Well, let me paint the picture for you. The year is 1994.
Wow. What a year, huh? What a year. That's, of course, everybody in hip-hop, they love to say that, well, old people, they love to say 94 is the greatest year in hip-hop of all time.
The golden year, as they were calling it.
The golden year, golden era. It's finally here, everyone. You happy about it?
I got to ask you, where were you personally the year of 94?
When you say the word personally, it sounds like, you know, mental issues are had. And yes, I had mental issues then because you're 94, you're a sophomore, you're trying to figure out yourself.
You know. So you're a sophomore at Kalani.
Yes.
Kalani High School. At this time, I am a senior at Mililani High School.
Yes, that is correct. So we were finding out music at that time because we didn't have internet. So
finding out music, discovering ourselves, going through puberty.
puberty, yep. Things growing, things loosening, tightening. I don't even know what that means. But we were looking at music, and we were looking at trying to find music that we like. We were the ball people. Well, I was, as far as the hip-hop person. Nobody liked hip-hop in Kalani. Maybe five people. Mililani had more. I know there was more, but it was very an oddball situation. So I would keep to myself. The music taste I have, I would keep to myself. And that would be my thing after school, would be to go to a Funk Pistol, Tower Records, Hungry Ear, look at all the different stuff, buy all the magazines, and then just read. And that would be like my own little personal hobby. So my personal was hip hop, because that was my thing that I had after school that kind of was my friend,
right?
Because nobody knew about it. And it was just this world that I just see in TV on 1 hour, 2 hours a day on UMTV Raps. And then I go read magazines, and, you know, God forbid I order a tape, you know, in the mail, you know, mixtape. But that was 94. That was the personal life. I had the major hobby of that.
Yeah.
And it was big because there was a lot of stuff that came out.
You were skateboarding at the time as well?
Skateboarding, I quit that year.
Oh, you quit already.
I was not. Yeah. I stopped. When the boards got smaller, I kind of just didn't get into it.
Oh, wow.
When they got the narrower, you know?
Yeah.
And the wheels got smaller. I was just like, too hard already.
Wow.
But then so it was that. And there was a lot of just finding out all this world that was hip hop, because it really expanded a lot that year. Like a lot of stuff came out.
94 is hip hop is becoming like this huge commercial thing that record labels are starting to really see the, you know, with the marketing and commercial potential for it. I mean, because, you know, we've already had its rise from, you know, 92 and 93, and hits were getting bigger and bigger, and the sound was diversifying. So for me, it was, I discovered, you know, really got hardcore into hip hop in 91. And that was all because of Yo MTV Raps.
Right.
And then by 94, pretty much New Music Tuesday was the regular thing, man.
Right.
We had
come on Tuesday.
Four stops on Tuesdays. We go to Hungry Ear in Waihewa.
Yep.
We'd go to Choice Cuts in Waihewa.
Yep.
And then at that point, there was Jellies in Mililani for a short period of time. And then there was also Jellies in Prokai and Tower in Prokai. Just because I was a Leeward kid. I'm guessing you were at the Holy Grail, which was Tower Records, Ala Moana, which was
Mecca, the
ultimate, and Jellies Ala Moana.
Jellies was out there. Jellies was at on Keomoku.
Right. That big
It was on Peepoy, then it went to Keomoku.
Right.
And then they opened up a second location in Market City. Hungry Ear was also across the street from Tower Records, Ala Moana.
That's
you had Funk Pistol, which was above Jellies.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically had like a mini mall of music stores.
Yeah. You had multiple stops just like I did, but I was like, had to go from Waihewa in, you know, into Pearl City, Aiea.
Right. You had to travel.
To just stay right in that little area.
Right. And I didn't even mention Ala Moana had Sam Goody, which also was a very underrated place.
The most overpriced.
But they always had singles that nobody else had. They always had the most obscure hip-hop singles. They were so strange that they have these things, but they have one copy.
Whoever was the buyer at Sam Goody was just buying everything.
He was buying everything, yeah. You could clearly see. Because there was all kind of stuff. The single section was the most elaborate single section of any store, even Tower Records. So, got to shout those guys out. And I think that was it for Ala Moana as far as the record stores. I don't recall anything else in Ala Moana as a music store. Maybe JR's music?
JR's, yeah.
It was JR's, then it became Sam Goody, I think, right?
I believe so.
Something like that.
Right. I agree with you now that you mention it. The only reason why I even went in there was because of the singles. Everything else was way too expensive.
Exactly.
They're selling CDs for like $18.99 over there.
Exactly. You're only going in there for the singles. The single section you walk in was on the left. It was a big wall on the left. That was it. And then you ended out with going to Ala Moana Towers, which is outside. And that was the trek, right? Yeah, and then you had Kala Mall Tower Records, which was also underrated. It had good stuff as well. But that was 1994. That and was I 94, came from Kalani. Right? And that was the trek. Go to Kala or go to Ala Moana. So
you were lucky, man. We had to save the town trips for probably the weekends because we were kind of just stayed on the
That makes sense,
for the most part. Exactly. But I guess with the point of this show, before we even get into the hip hop, which I'm sure the majority of our listeners get into, we kind of want to give a feel to what 94 was like, what was going on in the year, the headlines, what was going on in pop culture, sports. So I think with this episode, we're just going to have everybody reminisce. We're going to reach out to all those old futs out there and bring back some memories. And apologies to anyone listening to this who's under 30, because this is all some old people shit.
let's get back into my character of what it was back then.
Right. So let's kick it off with really what was the national news stories in 94. We'll paint the picture. Obviously, Bill Clinton and Al Gore in their second year as the 42nd president and vice president. And the year started off with a bang of sorts. It was a bang to the knee. You remember this? Nancy Kerrigan was attacked after her practice session in January of 1994 by Tanya Harding's fiance's cronies, right? The goons. He sent the goon squad.
Jeff Galooly? Was that the guy?
Jeff Galooly was Tanya Harding's fiance. He hired Shane Stant and Sean Eckhart. And and basically Tanya pleaded not guilty of conspiracy, but she was stripped of her national championship title and she was banned for life from professional skating from this incident.
That's a shame, huh? Did they have a sex tape too?
Yeah, and she had a sex tape too.
Why do I remember this now in 2020? I don't know. I really don't know. But yeah, they had a sex tape.
But yeah, that was a story that actually went on for quite a bit of the beginning of 94. Remember that just all the news stories and they painted Tanya to be out the villain and Nancy Kerrigan as like, you know, this is the victim, but Nancy Maybe. Kerrigan was, in retrospect, kind of a bitch. Shout out Nancy Kerrigan.
She was like a little, yeah, she's like a prima donna princess.
Right.
So nobody really took a favorite to either one. I mean, she looked like Snow White, right? And then you got this hick. And then, you know, you got Galoolie. But so nobody really picked a favorite on those two. They could both just get out of here.
Right.
But yeah, then it was a shame.
Yeah. Then another huge incident happened in January. January 17th, that was the year of the LA earthquake, the 6.7 earthquake.
That's right.
That rocked the city. 57 people died and 8,700 people were injured. The damages to LA County cost the state of California $40 billion. I think it's still the most expensive earthquake in U.S. history.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah. That was that year.
Oh. Yeah. January 17th hit 4:30 in the morning.
Really?
Crazy,
I totally forgot.
That one 94. Was about San Fernando Valley, man.
Yeah, that's right.
94
right.
Starting off with a bang.
Well, yeah. Much like 2020, dude. Huh?
And then the other major news story was in summer of 94, June 12th, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman are murdered in front of the Simpson home. And then on June 17th, OJ becomes a suspect, and him and Al Cowlings lead the LAPD on the slowest freeway car chase of all time.
It was a pleasant chase.
40 miles an hour.
Very pleasant.
In the white Bronco, right? The legendary white Bronco.
Okay. I guess I gotta speak on this because this holds a personal meaning to me, this moment. Because
95 million people watched this live.
And I was one, but I was one who was watching the NBA Finals because the NBA Finals was involving everyone's favorite team, your team and mine, the Houston Rockets of Houston against the New York Knicks. And this is the NBA Finals. This was game six of the NBA Finals. And I was watching that. And they cut away. The news cut away, of course, to show the Bronco and show all of this. So then I don't know what to make of this. I'm just like blown away that he's running away. I would never have thought he'd run away. I was thinking he was just going to stand trial. But so to see him running away and like this dramatic in this car and he's got his football buddy in there, I was just like blown away. And then here I am, Rockets are losing right now. And I'm just like having a mind fuck of what the hell am I supposed to do with my life? And then they cut away and they actually back then they wouldn't put like a picture in picture. They cut away from which was like incredible. If they did that 2020, that'd be insane if they did that to the Super Bowl. So they cut away from this thing. And then you're just mesmerized watching this. And like, is he going to kill himself? I thought he was going to kill himself.
Right. Well,
like,
he had a gun in the car.
Right.
You know, he was, you know, they said he was suicidal. And then it ended in the standoff in front of his home where he surrendered to the police.
It was just insane. And so then finally that they cut back to the game. And then they somehow figured out they got some tech guy to put a picture in picture finally in the, wow. I don't know why it took them so long. So watching the game, and then the players are at the Madison Square Garden are watching the OJ thing too. So everybody at Madison Square Garden is watching this as the NBA Finals is going on. So it was just like, it's just insane that all of this is engulfed. It's never going to happen again. Something like that. I don't think.
Yeah, I bet.
Just takes over everything.
Right.
And, that's the one thing I always remember from that chase was I was already vested in something else right then and there. And then you have the cutaway and insane.
Yeah. Insane. Well, we were watching the footage from my cousin's house and we were just mesmerized. We couldn't believe what was going on. It was super surreal.
It was very surreal. Cause like I was holding on to the fact that I didn't think he did it. Because I dug OJ. He was a good guy.
Yeah, and we were like Norberg from the Naked Gun.
We know him as Norberg from Naked Gun. He's a fun character. I mean, he's a nice guy when we see him out, you know, and he's a personality. But then to see him do this heavy, heavy duty dark, I was like, no, OJ, this can't be right. And then to see him run, I was like, oh shit, he did do it, didn't he? I'm like,
it was wild. And then we'd have to wait until January of 95 for the trial. So we're not going to talk about the trial. That's going to be
a whole other kid in caboodle.
And that became a ratings juggernaut. But those were the big national stories. But moving on to Hawaii news, you remember who was governor in 1994?
Is that Cayetano?
Nailed it. Ben Cayetano was elected governor, becoming the first Filipino-American to ever hold a political leadership position in the U.S. So he was a groundbreaker. Governor. He was groundbreaker at that time.
He was a lieutenant governor to John Wahei, who was the previous governor. And yeah, that really was the peak of the Democratic Party.
Yep.
In Oahu.
Yep. We're not gonna talk about politics, folks. Aaron has to do enough of that on his other time.
No, let's not.
But the big Hawaii story was, I don't know if you remember this, in 94, 13,000 state workers went on strike protesting for an 8% salary increase in 94. That was one of the largest state worker strikes ever.
Huh.
Yeah.
I do not remember this.
Yeah. I think because you were a sophomore, I was a senior. That was something that I was shocked. But then when I looked up like the old headlines, man, that was dominating in 94 was the state worker strike. I guess with 13,000 people. Yeah, that's
insane. That's a big one.
And then the biggest national news story that came from Hawaii was in 1994. Tyke the Elephant goes on a rampage.
Wait a minute. Really? That was 94?
That's 94. The Tyke the Elephant tramples trainer Alan Campbell at the Blaisdell Center, kills him.
Yes.
Goes on a rampage before being gunned down in the streets by HPD.
That was 94.
94, baby.
That's another one, too. That was very traumatic and just
measured. Oh, my God. And then they actually showed footage. They were like,
the shooting.
Please look away from your TV if you're sensitive you know, and then the cops just shooting the elephant over and over again.
I mean, it culminated from actually in the Blaisdell where he was actually biting one of the trainers. I remember him trainer.
It stepped on him, it crushed him, and then it was biting him. And
then he bum rushed out of Blaisdell, and you see him rushing the gate. Yeah. It's just so dramatic. Like, how did this all go down? And he's going on the street, and then they show him getting gunned down.
I believe he got gunned down right on Kapi'olani. Right over by where the BMW dealership is now, like right around over there, if I'm not mistaken.
That was a very insane moment.
Yeah, and, crazy. Yeah. So that story actually catapulted a national news kind of articles about the way animals were treated and kept in captivity.
Right.
Put a shed on everything, man. Where's that documentary, The Elephant King? Where's that one?
Why didn't they ever make something about Tyke? Did they ever do a special or documentary about Tyke?
Sure, there was, but I'm sure there was a local produced one, but I don't remember seeing it.
Because that's such the magnitude of that footage, you don't see that.
No, I'm sure. And you can still see stuff on YouTube. You can
It's just
footage on YouTube.
So ominous that.
Right. Yeah. Well, on a lighter note, everyone's favorite shopping center that no one goes to opened in 1994, Aloha Tower Marketplace.
Oh, God, really?
That opened in 1994.
That was 94.
Yes.
That was such a piece of shit.
Yes, it would eventually become one of the most expensive commercial disasters in Hawaii.
Yes, it was. With
mismanagement, lack of parking, and it did not become a tourist destination. And they filed for bankruptcy in 2002.
Only in 2002 they filed.
In 2002, it took them that long,
really?
For them to file for bankruptcy. Wow. But Aloha Tower Marketplace, yes, the place, it was near no route for tourists. Like, so tourists are like, I don't want to go over there.
Nobody wants to go over there. The parking was bad. They didn't have any appealing stores. I mean, you had restaurants there. What have you, but it just never stuck. It never stuck with any tourists, never stuck with anybody. And it was a disaster because you have this historical Aloha Tower, which is a great landmark to set the tone for a event center or a mall.
Right.
And they fucked it up. They couldn't get anybody in there. Well, and they didn't even know how to make parking.
Gordon Biersch and Don Hose.
Right. Right? Yeah. That was the anchors of this place. Gordon Biersch, which I've never
heard. Garlic fries and Hawaiian music.
That's all you get, right? Lucky you get calamari, maybe. But it's just it's bizarre. And, wow. Like, what is it? It's dorms now, right? In 2020, is it HBU?
I don't even know, man.
That land had to be.
Yeah, all that land. It's crazy. They spent multi-million dollars. I was trying to look for how much they spent, but I can't find that info.
Yeah, they can't find it either. they don't know themselves. They blew it all.
Yeah. Shout out, money gone. Yes. So 1994, Radio Free Hawaii throws the second annual Big Mele concert at Kulo
that's
Ranch.
Right. Yep. That's
do you
right.
remember who the headliners were by chance?
I got to say Mighty Mighty Boston's are on there.
Close,
they're there for everything.
It was actually Pornos for Pyros, the spin-off band from Jane's Addiction.
Right.
Blind Melon.
Hey, all right.
And Blind Social Melon. Distortion.
Were
the headliners.
Yeah. Blind Melon was like at its peak. Yeah, so that, yeah, I can see them headlining. Yeah.
No Rain was just monster in 93.
Monster hit, right. So it makes
sense.
And
then I had some other Hawaii concerts that were in 94. Depeche Mode was at the Blaisdell Concert Arena.
Okay.
Carlos Santana was at Kulo Ranch.
Wow.
Yep.
Really?
The Offspring and Pennywise perform at After Dark.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, After Dark would have that.
And this is something that I found online. Tupac was scheduled to perform at After Dark on July 23rd, 94, but the show was canceled. Tickets were $17.50. And it was Tupac, Dramacidal, and Thug Life. There's pictures of them on TupacLegacy.com of them all in Waikiki.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
There's a picture of Tupac out in front of the Waikiki Police Department giving the finger.
Yes, I've seen that picture, right. So why was the concert canceled?
I have no idea. I have no clue. But
they didn't get sell enough tickets?
I had no idea. I had no idea about this show.
I vaguely do not. I don't remember this.
We were probably too young to get in there anyway, obviously. So,
well, in our time frame, maybe you were closer to doing so, but in my time frame, I wasn't looking at concerts at all. I would just look at them from afar because I know I wouldn't be able to go.
I wasn't 18 yet by this point in July, and so I'm sure they weren't letting it wasn't an all age show. I guarantee it after dark,
right? After dark, it wasn't all age, but
so
but I didn't even
quite Tupac. We could have had a Tupac show here.
Wow, because we've had everybody else. We've never had Tupac. Yeah.
$17.50, what a deal.
Yep, definitely.
All right, so 94 sports. Let's go into 94 sports. January 30th, Super Bowl 28. You remember who's going head-to-head in Super Bowl 28?
It's Dallas.
Right?
And the Bills.
Dallas and the Bills. And the Dallas will go on to beat the Bills 30-13.
Yeah,
and then in June 14th, New York Rangers win the Stanley Cup. Only they defeat the Vancouver Canucks. The only reason why I'm bringing this up because the national headline story was the Rangers got drunk at a strip bar and forgot the Stanley Cup there.
I remember that now. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Okay, I remember that.
And
yes.
That was blasphemy at the time. People, hockey fans were losing their mind because they left the Stanley Cup in the bar. Yeah,
you cannot do that. Yes, that's sacred.
Yeah. Right. All
right. I remember that.
Right. You mentioned it. June 22nd, NBA Finals, Houston Rockets, New York Knicks, Game 7. They win their first NBA championship. You must have gone crazy on this.
I cried, yes.
Yes.
I did cry in the room by myself, in my room.
Right. We got
as I was watching OJ the previous game.
I bet now with the Last Dance, we don't need to remind everybody where Jordan was in 94. He was not in the league at this time.
Playing baseball.
He's playing baseball, right? And then didn't he got in a huge controversy with Sports Illustrated because they like gave a cover story about him saying like he's washed up and he like never communicated with Sports Illustrated ever again?
Oh, well, I'm not sure about that, but I know that the speculation of why he retired was because of his father passing away and it was a lot of gambling ties to that.
Right. And when they did that whole article, right, about Mike, like, give up the baseball, give it up, right?
Oh, okay. I can see them doing that.
Yeah,
but I think partially, and I don't know, but he retired, I think, for a lot of reasons, not just for baseball. I think there was something else personally going on with involving gambling.
Right.
I think, and his dad. That's just my thought.
All right. 94 NCAA championship. Do you remember who wins 94 NCAA championship? We're in the height of the starter era, too. Everyone's wearing starter jerseys and starter jackets. And
It wasn't UNLV. It Duke?
So it was Duke against the Arkansas Razorbacks. And the Razorbacks win the championship for 94.
Right. Was that against Christian Laettner?
I think Laettner and what was the
– Bobby Hurley?
Yeah, Bobby Hurley, point guard at that time. 94 World Series. Remember about this one? It was canceled.
the strike.
It was a 232-day player strike.
Yeah.
It was the first World Series canceled in 90 years at that point.
That was the strike. That was when Ken Griffey was on track to get the home run record, but then they fucked it up.
That's right. All right, November 5th, George Foreman, at 45 years old, becomes the oldest heavyweight champion of all time, defeating Michael Moorer, who was 26 years old, in the 10th round.
I remember that.
The year for George Foreman.
Yeah, that was a crazy comeback for a guy that age. And
I don't know if people remember this. In 94, George Foreman would release the George Foreman grill in 94.
That was in 94?
At the same time, yes. And between 1994 and 1999, he makes over $200 million for the grill.
Oh, yeah. He banked on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Insane.
Wow, that was 94. God, 94. Time flies, yeah.
Time flies, man.
Because, like, I remember seeing that, and it was an ingenious design, right? For anybody, I'm sure everybody's seen a George Foreman grill in their life, especially all you old fuckers on here. And it's a thing that's a slanted indoor grill. And then he would promote it as, see all the oil and all the juice would come down. You don't have to get all that fat.
Knock out the fat.
It knock out the fat. It was just, at the time, it's like, fuck, yes. How genius is this?
Yes.
I feel so much healthier now.
Yeah, it came out in fall of 94. So it began kind of picking up steam. And then I think it really took hold of the culture in like 95, 96 when everybody was buying it. But
right.
But okay. It debuted in 94. And the infomercial debuted in 94. So
unreal.
And then they just kept running that infomercial all day.
Yes, all day they did.
Long. All right, real quickly, 94 in professional wrestling. Just give you some quick stats you can comment on. WCW is in the process of being revamped by Eric Bischoff, right? Nitro would eventually premiere in 95, but, you know, WCW doesn't have a weekly show at this point, right?
Right.
NWA is run under the guidance of Paul Heyman at this point, Paulie Dangerously. And then we start to see the genesis of what's to become ECW, right?
Well, overall, bottom line, 94, it really sucked.
Yeah.
It was the downfall of it was a down period in wrestling.
Yeah.
The only thing that made any highlight of anything was Hulk Hogan going to WCW. That was in 94. They convinced him to come out of retirement because he was filming Thunder in Paradise down the street at MGM.
Right.
WCW was filming in MGM. So it was Flair and was like, hey, you know, I told Bischoff, hey, you know, Hogan's down the street. Why don't we go talk to him and let's go figure this out. And maybe he wants to wrestle again. Because he wasn't under contract with Vince, right? So that was what kind of spearheaded WCW getting bigger.
Right.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Getting Hogan was a big get.
Right.
Right, obviously.
WWE had Monday Night Raw at that time. And then they were only doing 5 pay-per-views a year, right? It was Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, King of the Ring, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series.
Right. It was garbage. They were trying to push Lex Luger to make him the next Hogan.
Yeah, and Bret Hart was their champion.
Bret Hart was the champion.
So it was WrestleMania 10 at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
It was 2 matches Bret Hart was in. He was Owen Hart versus Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And then it was Bret Hart versus Yokozuna.
Right. Who also wrestled twice. He beat Luger.
Right.
It was a weird little situation where they did like a triangle. But it was not a good period.
Hey, best match of WrestleMania 10, though. Ladder match, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon.
There was that. Right. But it was a downtime in the industry, and the big highlight of 94 was, well, you have that match, but it was Hogan jumping to WCW, which was major to see this guy that was like the 80s king, WWF king,
to sign that contract,
to sign over there. And then they, of course, set up the Ric Flair Hogan match. They brought in Shaquille O'Neal. They brought in George Foreman be there. They made it star-studded to beef the thing up as much as can. Mr. T. And they really went all in on being like, we're going to spend money now, and this is it.
Yeah,
and
Ted Turner gave Bischoff the checkbook, man. He let
If they didn't have Hogan, there wouldn't be no money. Because they wouldn't have the firepower to go up against a WWF, they thought, back then.
Right.
So that's why they got the Savages. The Savage joins WCW. That was another big get in 94.
Right.
It was them pulling all these old WWF guys. It was Hogan's doing, too, because he wanted to get his boys in. Duggan, Axel, Duggan. So it was getting all this star power, building, and then he's able to spend the money. And, yeah, that was kind of the 94.
Right. All right. So pop culture news in 94, April 8th, 27-year-old Kurt Cobain found dead in his Lake Washington home from an apparent shotgun wound to the head. It is ruled as a suicide, even though they have multiple conspiracy theories on whether it was a suicide or not. You know,
people, who's killing him? What was the conspiracy theory?
Oh, man, you need to watch that movie, what is it called, Soaked in Bleach? Man, there's there's an entire movie about conspiracy theories about Kurt Cobain. It's nuts.
Let me tell you something, man. I'm dealing with conspiracies in 2020. I can be dealing with 94 conspiracies.
Now, everybody was talking about Kurt Cobain's death in 94. I want to talk about a guy who I love that also passed away in 94, John Candy. All right?
Yes.
John Candy passes away from a heart attack on the set of Wagons East, with Richard Lewis at 43 years old. John Candy, one of my comedy heroes.
Yes, he's a legend.
Forever.
Legend.
Gone way too soon. All right. Yep. In 1994, both Yahoo and Amazon are founded. So those are, that's the beginning of the interweb.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
Yes.
AOL's coming soon.
Right. Yep. Other news, August 12th to 14th, one of the most disastrous music festivals of all time is held. Woodstock 94 is held in New York. The heavy rains caused seas of mud, and it became a disaster. The headlining acts were Nine Inch Nails, Metallica, Aerosmith, Bob Dylan, Green Day, and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they had two hip-hop acts. You want to guess who the two hip-hop acts were at Woodstock 94?
Thug Life, Warren G.
I wish. It was Arrested Development and Salt and Pepper.
Of course. Safe.
All right. Yeah. You remember seeing all the footage of just the mud people at Woodstock 94?
That led to many memes, I think, that would lead in 2020. Right. Still referring to that. Yes. Holly's in mud.
All right. We're going into movies, or a couple movies. We'll go into a couple other pop culture things here. We got some marriages. We got some controversial marriages. Michael Jackson marries Lisa Marie Presley in 1994.
Well, that was in 94. Interesting.
Yes, and they have their bizarre kiss on the MTV Music Video Awards.
Right.
Oof.
That was something, wasn't it?
Yikes.
That, if you're going through puberty and you see that.
Right.
Second thoughts, anybody? I mean, I don't know. It was just very bizarre. I mean, everything he did back then in 94 was, we already were knowing that Michael was weird.
Yeah.
You know, we already knew the mystique of Michael being weird in 94 at this point. For him to be married, kissing a girl, of course, we're going to be looking at
that. What do you think of Lisa Marie Presley? Babe or not?
She was cute. She wasn't unattractive here.
She was all right.
She's cute. It's just funny that he marries an Elvis's daughter.
Yeah.
Is that like an indirect, like, F you to Elvis?
You know what? You look at it like this. He marries Elvis's daughter and he buys the Beatles publishing.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's probably his big fuck you to everyone else in music pop music.
No, he's strategic. I know he's strategic. Yeah. He has an agenda. And I think it was part of it. I think so.
Definitely. Other marriages. Richard Gere marries Cindy Crawford in 94.
Oh, God. Really?
Yep.
Yeah, that was an odd one.
And then here's a marriage that we all blocked out of our memory. Aaliyah marries R. Kelly.
Shout out political correctness.
She's 15 years old at this point. Yeah. Yes.
That was just bizarre.
Ugh.
Totally bizarre. I mean, at the time, we thought it was weird, too, because we knew the deal with Aaliyah's age and whatnot. So even back then, we didn't know the repercussions of it in 2019, 18, right?
That's right.
But it was weird then, but we didn't blink too much on it, though, which is weird with society being the way it was in 94.
It's bizarre, a 15. Yeah.
How old was she? 15.
She was 15 at that point. I think he was in his late 20s. He's in his late 20s.
Right. So if you were to mention that right now in 2020, there'd be the nuclear bomb blowing off.
Right.
It's just amazing that we just didn't blink an eye to this.
Right. We also came from the time back in the day where Jerry Lee Lewis married his like 13-year-old cousin.
There was that.
And, like, Elvis married Priscilla when she was a teenager. It just was like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It was a strange time back then.
People without a care.
Right. Yeah, without a care.
Literally.
Yeah. also, speaking of disastrous relationships, Lisa Left Eye Lopez burns down Andre Rison's home in 1994. The Atlanta...
That was 94.
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons. Andre Rison, yes. And then he didn't want to press charges. You remember this?
Yeah, because, you know, when you're in love.
Yeah. Well, she lit his sneakers on fire in the bathtub and, quote, saying, "I didn't know sneakers could burn that fast and that hot."
I remember her saying that. This is when she became officially crazy. Like, we officially was like, Left Eye, don't play around.
Right.
Burning down a house. Talking about it. And she's legit. And but the love must have been so great that Andre said, "You know what? Burn my house. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's go out to dinner tomorrow."
He was, that's mad love right there.
I mean, he was a big spender anyway, so that's probably how his thinking was. He was just, that's why, you know, he had money trouble, but clearly he didn't give a damn about money, right? Because he's got Left Eye burning shit down, having trouble burning shoes, or all burning right. shoes fast, I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. Wow. All right, going into 94 movies. Do you remember what won Best Picture at the Oscars in 94?
Was that Forrest Gump? No.
No, that was the year. I think it was the year before. This was Schindler's List.
Everyone's favorite comedy.
This is Spielberg's sweep for the Oscars. He wins Best Picture and Best Director. And I don't know if people remember, he had probably the biggest year for any director in 93 because he made Jurassic Park and Schindler's List in the same year.
That is correct, yes.
So Tom Hanks wins Best Actor for Philadelphia. That's correct. Holly Hunter wins Best Actress for The Piano, even though I think Angela Bassett should have won for Tina Turner for What's Love Got to Do with It.
Oh, that was in 94 as well?
That was 94, man.
Wow.
Holly Hunter beat her. I think Angela Bassett should have got that one.
Clearly, right? I mean, yeah. I don't think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but Tommy Lee Jones wins Best Supporting Actor for The Fugitive.
All right, yeah.
Good role.
That's right.
Arguably career apex role for him.
That was, yes. We did not really know him.
And then Leonardo DiCaprio lost for What's Eating Gilbert Grape, but he was kind of the favorite to win.
Oh,
right. One of the favorites to win. And then, Anna Paquin. Remember Anna Paquin from True Blood and X-Men? She won Best Supporting Actress.
The vampire movie, right?
For The Piano. I think you're thinking of Kirsten Dunst.
Same broads. They look alike.
Right.
all these broads. But yeah. Right. Okay. Anna Paquin.
All right. Number one film of 94. What's your guess for number one grossing film of 94?
94. Was that Jurassic Park?
It was 93. That was 93.
93.
Think Disney.
Oh, God. Was it the... Oh, Lion King.
The Lion King.
Right.
$951 million worldwide in 1994.
It's one of the only Disney movies I've seen. I told you this. I don't watch Disney movies. I've seen this in the theater in a field trip. It was excruciating. But yeah.
Number two, Forrest Gump.
Okay.
$677 million.
That makes sense.
Number three, True Lies. Great movie. $378 million. It was the most expensive film ever made at that point.
Really?
Yes. And then he would top it with Titanic.
Right.
Eventually, James Cameron. But, yes. Number four, I'm shocked, of the highest grossing film of 1994, The Mask. Jim Carrey, The Mask.
That was big, though. People were digging it.
And people not surprised. People forget Jim Carrey had Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and The Mask in the same year. Both came out in 94.
He was at top of his game.
Huge.
So, and then you had... Who else was in the movie The Mask?
Cameron Diaz. Diaz. It was her debut film.
Right. So then that obviously helped her career.
Yeah, major.
What's the next step, right?
So yeah, big time.
That was big.
And then number five, everyone's favorite, Keanu Reeves, Speed.
Yeah.
$350 million worldwide.
Yeah. He turned a corner with that one.
Yep.
And that was a major one. Everybody loved that movie. Everybody watched it. Obviously.
And my correction, Jim Carrey had three movies in 94. He also had Dumb and Dumber.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That was 94?
That was 94.
Shit.
So other movies that were notable and made money in 94 was The Flintstones. People forgot that one, that John Candy as Fred Flintstone.
John Candy was Fred.
I mean, John Goodman. Excuse me.
Oh, John.
John Goodman Fred Flintstone.
Pardon. I never watched it.
Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. Four Weddings and a Funeral. No. Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
Clear and Present Danger.
Yeah.
Then just some honorable mention movies for 94, Pulp Fiction, which was my favorite of that year.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic. That's legendary.
Yeah, yeah. Clerks.
That's another classic.
First movie, Reality Bites.
Yeah.
The official revamp of James Bond, GoldenEye, came out in 94.
Right, that is correct.
Shawshank Redemption, which is, you know, arguably probably one of the most, like, beloved films of 94 for a lot of people.
A lot of people love that movie.
Right?
Tim Robbins.
The Usual Suspects.
Excellent movie.
The Crow.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Brandon Lee. And The Professional with
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman's debut, yeah.
And then the guy that nobody remembers the guy's name, but he's The Professional. And
yeah, Jean Reno. Of course,
That's a great name, too.
Jean Reno. And then for hip-hop fans, two cult movies came out in 94. Do you remember what the two big hip-hop cult movies in 94 were? One had a Wu-Tang Clan soundtrack. The other had a Death Row soundtrack.
Wow. A Wu-Tang Clan soundtrack for this?
Mm-hmm. Wu-Tang Clan had multiple singles for this movie.
Was it High School High?
Oh, close. It was Fresh.
Okay. Fresh. Totally forgot about Fresh. Okay.
With Samuel Jackson in there.
That's where the Genius song is on there. I got your back.
Can It Be Also Simple from Raekwon is on there. Ghostface and Raekwon is on there.
There you go.
And then Above the Rim.
Above the Rim.
Death Row soundtrack, which would go on to become one of the best-selling movie soundtracks of that.
That was huge.
That year, and yes.
Huge soundtrack.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Wow. Going on to the top-rated shows in 94. All right. What do you think is number one rated TV show of 94?
In 94? Gosh, I think I checked out of TV at 94.
Yeah,
so this is going to be tough. This is going to be a tough one. It's not Friends, right?
Well, Friends premiered in 94. Seinfeld is number one. It's a ratings juggernaut.
At that point, it hit.
Number two is the premiere season of ER.
That was 94. Okay.
That was 94.
Got it.
Number three, Home Improvement. People loved Tim Allen in 94. That was
94.
Yeah, he was the first comedian, I think, at this. If you can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe Cosby might have had this, but he had the number one movie in the country. I don't think Cosby ever had the number one movie in the country. No Ghost Dad or Leonard Part 6.
Leonard Part 6 for the win.
Yeah. Tim Allen had the number one movie in 94. It was Santa Claus.
He made
number one. He had a number one TV show at Home Improvement, and he had number one selling New York Times book. It was Tim Allen? Don't Stand Close to a Naked Man or something like that.
Oh, it's like some comedy book?
Yeah, it was like a comedy book.
Because he's a very political guy now, so it was a comedy book. Okay.
Yeah. Number four, shocking show that no one talks about or remembers, Grace Under Fire with comedian Brett Butler.
Jesus.
Was number four.
Brett Butler. She's still alive? She did?
Brett Butler, are you out there? Can you if you're still alive?
No, don't. Quite frankly, who's a fan of Grace Under Fire? There's no one right now having a conversation about Grace Under Fire then, now, forever. All right. I want to go find a Facebook group that's the Brett Butler fan club or the Grace Under Fire fan club. No one watched this shit. You did not watch this. I did not watch this.
Grace Under Fire, if you remember, was like another answer to Roseanne. It was like another like edgy working mom kind of comedy.
Right.
Blue-collar comedy.
He tells it like it is. Right, she's a working mom.
Right.
Brett Butler getting a show.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
and then number five was tied between the ratings juggernauts that they are. 60 Minutes, all the old people love it.
Right.
Monday Night Football.
Right.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
So other notable shows at the height of their popularity in 94, Beavis and Butthead on MTV.
Okay, yeah.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, that was huge. Yep.
America's Funniest Home Videos with Bob Saget.
That was a juggernaut in itself. People just loved that.
The X-Files on Fox.
Yeah.
And
heavy hitters.
In syndication, the Jerry Springer Show in 94 is drawing huge ratings.
When he changed his format, yep.
It got huge. He turned it into like the professional wrestling of talk shows.
Yeah, because it wasn't like that before.
It was genius.
It was genius.
All right, here's some TV shows that premiered in 1994. Friends premiered, your favorite, everyone's favorite show you've never watched.
I watch it hourly.
Shout out to friend of the show, Sean Einan. He's seen every episode like 10 times.
I'm sure he did. He's watching it now.
Party of Five premiered in 94.
Ah, all right. There we go.
Everyone's favorite, Sister premiered in 94.
Oh, I tell you, if there's a show that I could follow up Friends with, it's Sister. What a combo.
A show premiered in 94, which the title reflects what's going on today. My So-Called Life premiered in 94.
They got to revamp and reboot that show.
I think so, yeah. Claire Danes, it was Jared Leto.
People being depressed for an hour, talking about their problems. Jared Leto's depressed. The girl, teams. Claire Danes, is depressed.
Right.
And they have all these problems. They don't have no problems. Get a job, you jerks.
And I don't know if you remember this, in 1994, New York Undercover premieres in
1994.
Okay. Shout out Malik Yoba.
That show, I always felt like, I don't know if it's feeling sorry for, but I always felt like I needed to support it for some reason, even though it was not good.
Because it was like hip-hop adjacent.
Yeah, so I feel like I needed to be there. I needed to turn onto that channel and watch it and just leave it running because I'm not watching it, really. Right.
It was 21 Jump Street.
Right, and it just felt like it needed to be on the air. We just need to keep this on.
And we had rappers on it.
Malik Yoba job.
Rappers were on it. It was like the Who's the Man TV show. it always had rapper cameos.
I mean, you'd think the premise would work. It's New York crime show. You would think it would work.
It was terrible.
Nobody watched it.
It was supposed to be like a New York version of Miami Vice, but it was terrible.
Right.
All right. Hottest game in the arcade in 94 was Tekken. It debuted in 1994. Okay. We're going to some video games now. Sony's PlayStation 1 and Sega's Saturn, they both debut in the fall of 94 for Christmas.
Yeah.
I remember Sega's Saturn just failing miserably.
Sega failed ever since the early 90s. After Genesis, they failed. They just couldn't figure it out. They lost the lightning in the bottle. And it was fail after fail, 32X, right? Saturn was the Dreamcast, all of it. I mean, Dreamcast has moments, but Sega Saturn was pretty trash. It was really bad.
Sony's rise to dominance would begin in the Christmas of 94. And I got my PlayStation in Christmas 94. So, yeah.
What was the retail for PlayStation?
I don't know.
Because, you know, back then,
we should look that up. Yeah.
Because sometimes nowadays these consoles go out for like maybe $300-$400.
Right.
Right. So back then, I don't know what would the retail be for like a Super Nintendo, Genesis, Sega Saturn.
I would imagine at that time, probably $200, but I could be wrong. I would imagine, someone will probably know immediately. Right. Wando, shout out Wando.
If they're still listening to this.
All right. Best-selling video games of 94, home console games. NBA Jam, huge.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 2, huge.
Yeah.
Super Street Fighter 2, huge.
Right.
Super Metroid.
Right. Super Metroid, that's right.
And
right.
Donkey Kong Country.
That was another classic, yep. That's a lot of classics.
And then for PC, I never played the game, but I knew a lot of people that did. Doom 2 broke sales records for PC gamers.
Wonderful. I never played PC
games. Yeah, I never played PC games.
I ain't got time for that, man.
Man, they don't got no joystick.
Man, they ain't got no control. You can control me out of here. I ain't going to do it.
All right. Two biggest selling toys in 1994 were Mighty Morphin Power Rangers action figures.
Right.
And Starting Lineup figures.
Those were big in 94.
Starting lineup figures were huge in 94 into 95. But,
I would never have thought.
Yeah, I would have never thought either. All right. Now, we're getting into the last little tidbit of this episode before we go on to our next episode, which will be the hip-hop crossovers. Finally, a hip-hop podcast that's going to talk about hip-hop.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're just leading up to it. You're enjoying yourself with all these stats, right?
I'm wondering what the next category is going to be. It's going to be like best home
it's
and garden.
It's just albums. It's
best magazines in 94. What the hell are we doing?
No. It's the best-selling albums. Right, best-selling right, albums right. in 94.
How are we ending episode one here? What's your final?
Best
of 94 here.
Yeah. So I was just going to tell you what the top-selling albums were, MTV most viewed music videos or most played music videos were.
All right.
And then the pop singles, and then we'll roll right into hip hop.
Okay.
All right. So what is the top selling albums of the year? Lion King soundtrack, number one.
Oh, fuck.
No, everyone buying that Can You Feel the Love Tonight,
oh,
man.
Oh, God.
4.9 million copies sold.
Give a damn about that.
All right. Number two, The Sign from Ace of Base. People forget how huge Ace of
Base
was.
That was major. No, it was major. It really was. Ace of Base was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
And that song, and then The Sign was huge.
Yeah, and then they had the remake of the Oswald song, Don't Turn Around.
Right, they had that one. Yeah. Beautiful Life, was that them too?
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, you think you're right. But
Beautiful Life?
They were just huge, man.
All That She Wants.
Yeah, All That She Wants. They had like 4.8 million copies sold. Yeah. Everyone thought that and everyone that I talked to and I asked, what do you think the best-selling 94 was? The next album is the album that they guessed. It was Two by Boyz II Men. They thought that was the best-selling album of 94.
Boyz II Men's not really an album sales team. They're singles.
Well,
right?
Yeah, we can talk about I'll Make Love to You Later, but 4.2 million records sold for Two. It's their biggest album.
Right.
Number four, Counting Crows, August and Everything After. People forget how big the Counting Crows were.
Hey, you know what? A lot of Hollies in this world.
Shout out Adam Duritz. He dated Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston.
He's got his bread buttered. But yes, it was huge. I mean, you got to look at the time of the way things were. It was just the alternative music was hot. Radio Free was on fire still. You have Big Melly bringing Blind Melon. I mean, this is the time. It makes sense.
Number five, super influential album, Dookie from Green Day. 3.5 million records.
The climate is perfect for the climate. Yes, of course. Everybody loved Green Day.
Here's some other notable albums of 94. You had Purple from Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah,
that was the second album with Big Empty, Interstate Love Song. You had Smash from The Offspring, which became the biggest selling independent record of all time at this point.
There you go.
Offspring broke all the records because it was on Epitaph Records, a punk label, and it was outselling all these major labels.
That was the time.
Yeah, Music Box from Mariah Carey. This is pre-slutty Mariah. She's still...
Yes, this was her still clean-cut Mariah.
Right. I believe and then you had the MTV Unplugged Nirvana album, which was boosted from sales because of Kurt's demise.
Right.
You had Vitology from Pearl Jam.
Right.
The follow-up to 10. You had the debut album from Toni Braxton, which was huge. Toni Braxton, shout out Toni Braxton.
Right.
In 94.
Yep, that was her debut.
Downward Spiral from Nine Inch Nails was huge.
Everybody loves Nine Inch Nails.
Yep.
Back then.
Yeah. Doggy Style from Snoop Dogg, which we'll eventually talk about later. It became the biggest selling hip-hop debut of all time for quite a bit, and it was the biggest selling hip-hop record of 94.
That is correct.
The Blue Album from Weezer.
That is correct. Yes, people forget. 94 was that.
Controversial 12 play from the disgraced R. Kelly.
We're going to be talking a lot about R. Kelly as this gets progressively through the years.
I think as we go down the line, because he's cameoed on so many hits. You know what I mean? So he's going to come up for sure.
He's going to be there.
And then it was a big R. year Kelly. For debut albums. Debut albums from Toni Braxton. Like I said, Aaliyah's first album came out in 94, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Yeah.
The self-titled Brandy album came out in 94. Brandy was everywhere.
She was everywhere, yeah.
Shout out to the Hootie fans. Hootie and the Blowfish, Crack Rearview came out in 94.
That's right.
They were everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right.
And they never knew, like, Hootie was not the black guy. It was the group, and that was the whole thing. Oh, that's Hootie. No.
And the beginning of the Brit Rock invasion that kind of replaced grunge began in 94. With Definitely Maybe by Oasis and Park Life from Blur. Those were both huge.
Yep, those are big. Everything's huge.
Yep. All right. I'm going to just tell you what the most played music videos were on MTV in 94. Basket Case from Green Day.
Oh, yeah.
Sabotage from the Beastie Boys.
That was everywhere.
Right. Yeah. Buddy Holly from Weezer.
That was everywhere.
Black Hole Sun from Soundgarden.
Oh, I've seen that way too many times.
Kiss from a Rose from Seal.
And that's just, I'm done watching a video of that ever again. Yeah, I remember that.
And Zombie from the Cranberries.
That was everywhere.
Yep.
All were everywhere. Yeah.
Yep. And then Snoop Dogg in 94 would release his short film and music video for Murder Was the Case, which was one of the biggest like MTV hyped premieres. If you remember this, it was directed by Fab Five Freddy and Dr. Dre. The music video had its own soundtrack.
That's right.
One song had its entire soundtrack.
That's right. It didn't just dawn on me just till now. Yeah. Marketing.
Marketing, man. Marketing.
Marketing. Based off a little mini movie.
Yeah. And then the biggest selling singles in 94, number one was The Sign, Ace of Base.
Yep.
Number two was I Swear from All for One.
Yep.
Number three, I'll Make Love to You, Boyz II Men. I Swear. Bigger than I'll Make Love to You. I need to look that up, but this is what it's saying here in 94. I think over time, Boyz II Men sold more copies. But they're saying of 94, best-selling single, I Swear sold more copies in 94 than Boyz II Men. I have to question that. I would have to check that. But
that's an odd one. I don't know if I agree with that either.
Yeah, I think if we go to the stats now over time, I think Boyz II Men outsells everybody over here.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's odd to hear.
Right. But these were stats taken by Billboard at the end of 94. As far as just the biggest sellers. Power of Love by Celine Dion was number four, and Hero by Mariah Carey.
Forgot about Hero.
Yeah.
That was big.
Yeah. And then honorable mentions for big, big influential songs, Back and Forth from Aaliyah. Creep from TLC.
Yeah. That was big.
Can We Talk from Tevin Campbell. Shout out Tevin Campbell, wherever he is.
Hopefully he's alive.
I Want to Be Down by Brandy.
Huge.
And the biggest song ever from an independent artist, or not even an artist to not even have a record deal, Stay from Lisa Loeb and the 9 Stories.
That was 94.
94, man.
Wow. But didn't you, when you first saw her, like you knew from like maybe a minute into that video or the song, like she's done after this song. There's no follow up for her. Like this is a one hit wonder for real. And she's done. And it's too bad because, you know, she's a cute gal, but that's it. That was my thoughts watching that song.
No. Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but that kind of gives everybody a feel. That's it. That's the year in review for 94, man. Does it bring back any memories to you? Is it triggering you in any way?
Well, it brought up a lot of stuff that I forgot. So this was the first one that compared to the 93, 92 ones that I forgot it was in the year 94. So it was a lot of eye-opening surprises that I didn't realize was 94. So that was good.
Well, so. I hope all you futs, you know, got your 94 hard-ons, because this is just episode one of the Old Futs 94 review. And we're going to come back and it's going to be all about hip-hop with our next episode. I know you can't wait.
Can all of you out there, can you all can't wait? I mean, we just gave what was like the greatest stuff of 94. I don't know if that was a good precursor to move into. I don't know, really. I don't know. Who knows? You decide, listener.
You decide. But thank you guys for tuning into this episode. We'll see you for the next episode, which will be biggest hip hop crossover hits of 1994. This is Sky Cameron.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
One more thing.
All right.
Before we go, real quickly, I just want to know as a precursor, just so we just know this for the record.
All right.
How many biggest crossover hits will we be acknowledging next time? Do we have another?
What we're going to do here, yes. Well, what we're going to do is I have a top 10 of the biggest singles of the year. No, you can't wait. I have a top 10. And then we're going to go over the 1994 Source Awards.
If that doesn't get you to tune in next week, I'll be there because I have to. But We hope to see you all there too.
But 94 incredible crossover hits. I mean, we got some bangers.
All right.
I got something just for us to ride out to.
Here we go.
Oh no, not Nas. To all of our listeners, we hope you stay listening to the OFUTS podcast. God.
Oh God. That was an awful, awful segue. It's serious. All right. Are we out? This is it. All right. Episode one.
We're out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Oh, shit. Talk so all the time. God, this is like, you know, like you like that one. I don't want to out girls. You like that one or depressed boy. And you're like sitting in your room. You don't have a job, right? And like you're just sitting there pretending to be sad that you have problems when you don't really have any problems because you're living with your parents and shit. And you don't pay taxes.